Happy Friday, everybody. We are broadcasting live from Jimmy's Tequila and Carnes right here at Peachtree Industrial. Mike, man, you've been making your rounds. A lot of folks coming in, hanging out.
And, yeah, man, we got some great friends.
For the matches tonight.
Our man over here is on a conference call. You done on your conference call?
Who are you talking about?
That guy right there looks like Kobe. He's right there. Is he at the window?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's on a conference call.
Abe's in my way, by the way. Big shout out to Abe who made his way out here.
But we got a great crew, lovely ladies over here hanging out. They're like, what is this show? You guys know B103? That's not us. We're the sister. That's our sister station. We'd be the brother station, right, technically. But, 92.9 the game. Shout out to, at the bar, a Buckhead bartending legend, Jaeger. Our boy worked at Lulu's, worked at all the great bars in the old days, Carl. He was there those days when we were tripping the Light Fantastic with Brent Key and Shane Beamer in the old days of George Godsey at quarterback. And he said to us earlier, he goes, I heard Brent on the show talking about, you got my tab one night. He goes, that's nonsense. They never had a tab.
Brent was trying to make a little something there, huh?
No, we had that great days. And, again, it's a beautiful area now. But those who remember the good old days of all those amazing bars, if you lived here before the Olympics, I missed it. I got here after the Olympics. And, by the way, I've never seen Abe at a loss for words. Have you ever seen Abe Gordon at a loss for words?
What was he at a loss for words?
Well, before the last commercial break, Canada's playing Bosnia and Herzegovina up in Toronto right now, just started. And I go, let's go B&H. And he's just staring at me like, what? I go, I've got good friends from Bosnia. I've got a couple of good buddies who live in my building in Midtown. I told Carl I got to go to Sarajevo before the war in Yugoslavia started. Mm. Amazing city, great people. And I'm pulling for Bosnia. B&H, Carl. Let's go B&H.
Canada really has done anything in the World Cup, though, haven't they?
They do like we do.
They've never really done anything about what we do. Yeah, because I was
listening
to somebody maybe 2 days ago, and they were talking about all the teams, and they were saying they didn't expect Canada to have a good team.
Canada's women are better than Canada's men as far as Olympic competition and World Cup. Yeah, there you go.
Well, he's not speechless after all. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell.
I mean, rarely can I say something with Abe and go, oh, yeah, Bosnia, I know. He just stared at me blankly, but I'm pulling for B&H. Let's go Bosnia.
All right, we'll see. That match is going on. USA, by the way, tonight. All right, Paraguay tonight in L.A. SoFi, by the way, is where their World Cup journey will start. And I want to remind you guys, Atlanta's authority on baseball is 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley on Sundays all season long. Join him from the diamond, a comprehensive look at the Braves and Major League Baseball. It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get your guaranteed offer on your home from Mark Spain at markspain.com and by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com for your free consultation today. That's From the Diamond with Grant McCauley. Sundays on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, look, there is a lot going on today. It's a big Friday. The Braves being postponed last night.
Yeah, maybe a good thing. Get out of Chicago before getting swept.
I was going to say, when that popped up on the screen, it was like Braves have been postponed. I was like, I'm not mad at that. Let's keep it moving.
No, I got to be honest with you. Yeah, it's just that's a team which is on the come. They've got a lot of young pieces. We saw their rookie hit the home run, the walk-off the other night off of Iglesias. So they've got some good things going on the south side of Chicago. But I'm with you. Now the Mets, the hapless Mets. Mets, as you said earlier, trying to get a spark, trying to salvage their season. They're going to do anything. It's got to start this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. Against a division foe, head-to-head games. That's a full game, not a half game. So, look, for them, they're playing for their season at this point. Mm. They're trying to salvage their season. Hey, man, more on the Braves. Grant's going to join us later on. We'll talk about the pitching matchups as we head towards the weekend. More on Team USA and soccer. And where is it for you when you talk about your sports landscape?
Right.
Okay? Because for the next 6 weeks, it's going to be present, front and center.
Right.
But after that, you know, again, even with all the soccer we now have in the United States, Mike, I still don't know if Americans seek out international soccer.
Right. And I heard, you know, we had that conversation yesterday, and I heard Andy and Randy talking about it today. I mean, look, there's a type of athlete that we need to play soccer that doesn't play soccer. He's tough. He's physical. He's got a killer attitude. And I know we have those guys from time to time in our system, like Clint Dempsey. But for the most part, Carl, I'll die on that hill. If you take, you know, the athlete is going to be different because if you're playing soccer, you're not going to look like a linebacker, right? You're going to look more like a corner, right? Maybe a safety. You know, this style of, but we've got enough athletes. We got 175 million guys in this country. You're telling me we can't produce athletes that look better and have more, let's be honest, more, I don't know, gravitas, for lack of a better word, than some of these guys? No, these guys have made it all the way to European soccer. They're now playing for Team USA. But I look at that team and I go, I watched that HBO special. I don't think that's our best athletes, Carl.
Yeah.
Our best athletes are in the NFL, in the NBA, MLB, and then NHL, and then MLS. Keep that on the QT. Where do you fall on this? I mean, it's just, we just don't seem to get the juice.
Yeah, I think it's better than it's ever been, which is not, you know, that's, if you ask me, is it better than it was in 94? I would tell you,
right.
Yeah, right? Because I think that guys are training better, that there's more opportunity. So, yeah, it's better than what it was.
Is it too clubby, the way the former coach Bertoller,
yeah,
all that stuff, where it seems a bit incestuous how it's run.
Well,
it's very private.
For 20 years I had
soccer. Before the new coaches.
Yeah, but for 20 years, Mike, I had soccer fans upset with me because every year I would do a diatribe about how soccer's supposed to grow and overtake all these sports in America and how it's going to rule the world, specifically our sports atmosphere, and it still doesn't. And so every year I would do this whole big thing on soccer fans, come out and tell me and people would get so PO'd because it's the number one sport in the world. Nobody cares about the NFL anywhere else.
Right.
Okay, but NFL fans don't care about soccer anywhere else.
Right.
It's part of the problem. And I'm not saying that you don't like soccer, but you don't like it like you like the NFL, and that's America.
Right.
That's where we are. And my whole point was, until we get to that, where you give it as much energy as you give the NBA or the outside of college, you know, football, you're not doing that with soccer. There are more college football fans who are listening right now than I would tell you international soccer fans who are seeking out games on their cable networks.
Right, and look, I get it. You can go to any of your local neighborhood bars, whether it's a Manchester bar, a Liverpool bar, a Chelsea bar, and you got fans that are loyal and they know soccer, and they're on the radio right now, Carl, listening, tisting us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I look at our soccer team and I go, that's not America's best athletes. That's not America's. Put it this way. Let me rephrase the argument. Reframe the argument. Our badasses don't play soccer.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
You know, and we've talked about the system, and we've talked about how USA Soccer is built. You know, and where are the? Why can't we get kids from the inner? And I know we have more inner city kids playing it, and they do matriculate all the way to the national team, but our best athletes just don't play the sport. You just touched on it. And look, I'll take a knee on this one. I never missed a United match for 2 seasons. I haven't been to a United match in 2 seasons now. The thrill is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't lie to you. It was so exciting. We talked about those first 2 years, winning the title. I actually cut a trip with my in-laws for Christmas up in New York Shore to come back for the championship game because that's how important it was.
Oh, yeah.
Look, you know, and it just
– we were there. I mean, and look, just, 18 to me, was a big deal.
United just hasn't been the same since COVID.
Well, it felt like you had to be there. And, again, for season ticket holders, we know a lot of you folks.
We were them.
Well, yes. And I still go. I don't go as much as I did. But part of that is with any sports team. Make me want to be at your product. Make me want to go and see the star power that you have. That is what's been waning. Atlanta United specifically, and this is just a soccer conversation, generally speaking, guys, because the World Cup is underway, and obviously we're going to be talking a lot about it, covering it, and I do want Team USA to do as well as we possibly can.
Of course.
But there is a reason why we are not a perennial favorite. It's why there's England and Spain, Mike, and all of these other countries that they're talking about that are the favorites to win this thing. And so we've never been there. We're aspiring to. But with Atlanta United, I think part of the issue has been, Mike, we spent all this money on these designated players, which is where you should be spending the most money to bring in the guys who can do the special things.
Right.
And we failed. They've not been able to have those DPs like we did early on really make a difference. And again, you know, it's not taking a shot at any specific body or person, but that's kind of where Atlanta United has gone wrong. It's not the auxiliary pieces. Your DPs have just not been great.
Nope.
And that goes for 2 seasons, and then you're terrible defensively, you know, last season.
Right.
Even though Tata knows what he's doing, I don't know if he's got all the pieces he needs as he did before.
Right. And we love Tata and love the style. And I just thinking while we're having the conversation, I thought I brought this up to you the other day. The other thing, when Atlanta United launched, the Braves were in rebuild. Remember? It was wait till Truist Park. It was back. It was SunTrust, but then it was Truist. But it was like the Braves were kind of hitting rock bottom and coming back up. And certainly from, you know, worst to first, we know how that turned out. But it was like the right moment, the right time, you know, for MLS and for Atlanta United, the excitement about it. By the way, it could be worse. Italy hasn't made the World Cup now in three cycles.
I know, but that's –
I mean, and they're losing their minds over it.
Absolutely, because it's expected.
Right.
They're supposed to be good.
But we're generally, historically, the host countries do get some juice. In 1994, the big upset over Colombia was historic. But most folks feel we'll get to that second round. That's as far as we'll go.
We will see, man. We do have some brand names, Christian Pulisic being the biggest, obviously. But we do have some brand names and a lot of experience on this team. We'll see if you know, they can attack the way that I think you need to, Mike, in these World Cups. You just can't sit around and sit back. You've got to still score goals. And so we'll see how it all plays out. But that's part of our soccer conversation today, and you guys can chime in.
Yeah, I want to hear from you because I know we've got a lot of guys who their kids racially. But it's kind of like, will this give us something that we're actually coming back to work, you know, this weekend talking about?
Correct.
But you know, and there's a buzz around the water cooler. Did you watch this?
I want to be clear about this, though, and you can call me a liar. That's fine. Parents who have their kids play doesn't mean you care about soccer. It doesn't.
Right.
You're just having your kids play, okay?
Right.
If you are a soccer player and then your kids are playing and you have an influence on them and the direction you're pushing them and you want them to play soccer, maybe a little different. But I'm speaking for like 75% to 80% of the parents out there. Your kids play soccer, doesn't mean you care about it.
By the way, Spain, four, about just under 5-1. France, just same odds. England, about 5-7-1. Brazil, 7.50-1. Portugal, and of course, Argentina. By the way, we just talked about soccer. You Phil Jordan hair. I mean, there's about Messi moves the meter. Mm-hmm. Messi moves the meter down in Miami.
Yes.
And with Argentina, because you're watching Argentina, it's a classic brand. They're defending World Cup champions. But that atmosphere at Jordan Hare the other night was amazing against Iceland.
Well, I think that's what it's going to be, Mike, around the country. I really do. I think it's going to be that way at Mercedes-Benz. Because it is World Cup, they're going to pack these stadiums. But I'm going to tell you guys, look, England, I think, is going to take this thing home. I really do. I think England is the favorite, and they are really good.
USA's 50-1, by the way.
This is crazy. They've got all the tools, but we'll see. That's what makes it so fun, man, is this open competition and certainly getting to the next round. Hey, I want to remind you guys, as we have been talking today about all the Falcon news, Storm Norton, we just got done with Joe Patrick talking about it. Storm Norton done. That news hit yesterday when Mike and I got done up there at the lake at the Twisted Oar. And we were just saying, a guy said, how concerned are you guys about the O-line? And I was
always concerned about the O-line.
Yeah, because depth matters. It's not your starters, guys. It's what if. What if one of your main guys goes out for a couple of weeks? How does that affect your running game? How does it affect your pass protection? That's the thing. And if you don't have a guy that you feel very comfortable with as a backup, it causes problems. You're just not able to do the things you normally can do.
I did not have two players from the Chiefs playing on our offensive line on my bingo card.
Me neither.
As far as the depth chart. But more on what Joe Patrick had to tell us. And, you know, again, can't wait to see and be at camp and see this with my own eyeballs, how Penix Jr. looks versus Tua. Because I think by the time we're up there,
it will be
ready to go and it will be a true competition.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, that's going to be late July. We got mandatory mini camp next week. All right, we'll come back. I will tell you what one coach had to say about his quarterback and how bad he wants to keep him. But also, we'll get to the NBA Finals. Adjustments. It's all about adjustments. We'll talk about it next on Dukes and Bell. Dukes and Bell hanging out in Doraville, Jimmy's Tequila off of Peachtree Industrial, and we'll be here until 6 o'clock. By the way, our folks from Ultra, Michelob Ultra, giving you a chance to win tickets to a World Cup match here. So come on out and join us. I think they'll be doing that all the way up until about 4:30 or so. I don't want people coming out at 6 and being upset.
Right.
But you could have a chance if you are off or maybe you're out and about right now. Come try to win these tickets with Michelob Ultra.
You know what we say in Bosnia, Carl?
What do we say?
Zivaili! Zivaili! Cheers. Bosnia. Abe mocked me. B&H up 1-0 on Canada right now. And you know, I was talking about my bookie down in South Georgia. He had to go look it up online to get a money line bet on Bosnia.
Yeah.
It's plus 275.
I wouldn't have known that either. But I will say there's plenty of gambling and betting going on with the World Cup, right? There is.
Right. So I'm in for a penny, in for a pound with Bosnia. 1-0 off the corner kick, as you just watched during the commercial.
Are you going to bet USA?
I guess.
Paraguay? Come on.
Maybe. you see what Alexi Lawless says about this. And by the way, we need to get Alexi on day. We haven't, he'll
That's
be
true.
Making the rounds, doing his work for Fox and everything.
That's true.
And FS1. But remember when Alexi, a couple guys, by the way, hit us up on the text line, basically, real quick, echoing everything not to say they're parodying us, Carl, but they agree with a lot of things we had to say about Atlanta United.
Yeah.
And how great it was, the newness of it. It was something that everyone could be in on, no matter if you were a transplant or a native Atlantan.
That's what made it
special.
We
could all be in on it at the same time.
Yeah.
And they do agree. They said it's just, you know, it's you're hoping they get the magic back. It just has not been the same. But and one guy, it's funny, I mentioned Alexi Lalas. Jimmy says, remember when you had Alexi Lalas on, he pronounced Atlanta United a super team?
Super club. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he called us that. But I will say this, and again, I'm not taking shots at anybody. Mike, our former president, El Jefe, did a hell of a job. He did a hell of a job of building, and I'm talking about Darren Eales, of building this
right,
and then getting the right players to fit the system, and then the way that this was promoted, right? And again, I mean, I'm not telling you Atlanta United has gone, you know, it's on the back burner,
right,
but it certainly doesn't have the energy it did a couple of years ago. And part of that is because they're just not winning matches the way they did. People still go. Guys, it's still a great environment. It's still one of the funnest things to do when you talk about sports environments in our city. But that, you got to give credit where credit's due.
And Darren Eales had it cooking.
He had it cooking,
and
bro.
It's funny because, you know, guys used to get on the former director,
Carlos
Bocanegra.
Yeah.
And it worked pretty well the last time I checked the first couple of years. Obviously, things didn't pan out. The only thing I thought where maybe Darren misstepped was Frank DeBoer as a head coach, the style. And even then, in 2019, we almost
had a shot.
Were a Miles Robinson injury away from maybe going to the finals that year.
Yeah, it's a good point. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk to our buddy from CBS, NBA writer Brad Botkin. He's going to join us to talk about this NBA series, the finals. By the way, Wimby has said he was asked about coming back from 3-1. He was like, everyone knows we're going to do it, but it's one game at a time. So, look, like I said, maybe they're that naive where they just feel like, okay, we let that one go. We'll show up tomorrow night, and we'll win another one, and we'll go back up to the Garden where we've been really good, and they have, and maybe this thing becomes a seven-game series. And by the way, if it does, shame on the Knicks. If this goes to seven, shame on the Knicks.
Well, you said your tease was, you know, what are they going to do, the game plan? I think the Spurs need to be on the couch. They need an analyst. You know, and I'm going to be honest, Mitch Johnson, shame on you, man.
Come on in, Mitch.
Shame on you. I mean, that was some dumb, like, Charles Barkley said it, Michael Wilbon said it, we said it, everyone said it. Just dumb-ass coaching, dumb stuff. I mean, there's only one way you let the Knicks back in the game. That's keep shooting threes. Because, you know, as good as that lead was built up, it's true. I think you and I talked about this a million times with the Hawks, and I hate the over-reliance on three-point shooting in the NBA. The analytics say do it.
I hate it, too.
But it's just you cannot sustain that clip of shooting an entire game. And you did the only thing that would let the Knicks in. Not to mention, look, if you're going to shoot a three, let's get five or six passes. Try to get a better look. Mm. Guys were literally with half the shot clock moving. If you go back and look at it, you bought the Knicks 3 minutes of comeback time.
You did. You did with the way you play. You're absolutely right, Mike. We'll find out what Brad thinks about it and what he thinks about going into a pivotal game five in which the Knicks, you know, obviously.
But do you come back? Are they so young they can brush it off? Or is it? Because I think everyone agrees these guys are going to be back and it's going to be them in Oklahoma City for years.
Yeah.
Depending on how Oklahoma City deals with free agency.
Right.
But you need some – they need some badassery on that team. That's why I think Rusty this morning on Steakhouse said, you know, he was funny, he was a good line. He goes, if I'm Draymond, I have my agent call the Spurs. Because they'd probably, now the Golden State's going to try to run it back at some point. I don't know what that's going to be, Carl. But what about an OG with some toughness added to that roster, which is kind of what they're missing right now in San Antonio?
Yes. Look, to answer your first question, though, I'll tell you what it's going to look like. They're going to trade for Giannis. Curry's coming back. The coach has made a decision to sign for 2 years. Draymond's back. You talk about last gasp. Like, this is our last shot. That's what I think happens with Golden State. Even maybe not now. Maybe this happens later than we anticipate. And remember, Jimmy Butler's recovering from the injury. So he'll be back at some point. But with
not
all
the same. Will he be the same?
Good question. But with all that said, man, I'm not sure if they are that naive or not, or whether they are, you know, if this is in their head. But we're about to find out. I mean, tomorrow, if this is a blowout, it's in their head.
Then they basically lost their confidence.
Yes.
And this is the equivalent of, you know, the Red Sox. You know, the feeling in New York, just to bring it to New York and the Knicks and the Mets, in 86, when the Red Sox blew that lead and the ball goes through Buckner's legs and they come back and they win, the feeling in New York was there was a rain. People don't realize they didn't play the next day. There was a rain out. They had to wait another day for it. And the feeling was, Carl, Game 7, Red Sox could have had a 10-0 lead. There was no way the Mets were going to lose because the Red Sox blew it. They had on the hook, and you let them wriggle off. Just like with the Falcons in Super Bowl 51, there's just moments where you're like, okay, you blew it.
It's too much.
You know? And if you're the Knights, any time that, you know, in this series, I mean, my God, no lead is safe in this series, but the Knights had a chance to really put the Panthers away, and they blew it too.
Couple of NFL stories we want to get to before we talk to Brad. More NBA on the way. 4 o'clock hour. We will let you in on have you guys seen this, by the way? Mike and I were just talking about it. So the Texas Tech brass, okay, all the higher-ups basically put out this video addressing the Brendan Sorsby situation, which is the quarterback who's been suspended but got a reprieve, and now it looks like he's just going to miss 2 games. If you've been under a rock or maybe at work, who knows? But this video is embarrassing. And it's embarrassing not because it's just – they did a fine job of presenting it, but literally you've got the AD and the coach and all these higher-ups who make the decisions and could make the easy decision, Mike, to say, Brendan, thank you. Pat him on the back.
We got to move on.
We appreciate this, but you know what? This is an untenable situation, and we've got to do what's best for the university. And there's probably 6 people sitting at this conference table, right?
Right.
And they're talking about
it. Looks ridiculous.
And they're talking about this as if it's just it's everyday occurrence. Like it's not. When is the last time you guys have heard, again, a player bet $90,000 and have 9,000 bets?
Right.
Tell me. So it's not an everyday occurrence. With that said, we'll get to it. But that I saw that video, Mike, and I was just like, this is getting pathetic.
Well, the thing is, they keep changing the argument. The goal, you know, we always joke about the goalposts keep moving on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, it was, first off, we got Brendan an addiction. Let's help him out. Now its rules are antiquated. Oh, now every kid in America got an app on his phone where he can go gamble. So it was bound to happen.
You should be upset.
And the thing is, these are grown men. It's one thing to go on Twitter or on a chat room for a fan base. Like, sometimes I go on War Chant and you read these idiotic things that people say because they're fanboys living in their mom's basement. It's another when it's guys making hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars that are administrators and coaches and athletic directors throwing this stuff out there. And the argument is just ridiculous. It's like watching somebody try to rationalize nonsense. You know, and everybody's killing them. I saw a million things about it today. School agrees to bylaws to join a conference, doesn't like the bylaws when they can hurt them. Player agrees to bylaws of an organization, breaks them, but doesn't want to be held accountable. Right? There was a Texas Tech fan named Brian who said, "Look, I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated for my school.
Should do
the right thing."
Yeah, he should be. That is out there. We will address that. Couple of things, Mike. I want to mention this. So, because they're in our division, Todd Bowles was asked about. Wanting Baker Mayfield as the team's long-term quarterback. Remember, Baker said they hadn't quite got to where they
said they were
to be.
Miles apart, if memory serves.
That is
right. I thought, you know, there's a few ways you can handle that contract. I didn't like that Baker going Baker.
Yeah, Baker did Baker, right? Baker, instead of saying, oh, we're working on it, my agent's got it, no problem, I'll be here. Anyways, Bowles came out and said, look, he absolutely, no question about it, wants Baker as his long-term quarterback in Tampa. Okay, we'll see if that works. Remember, they gave him a 3-year deal. He's been great. But now Baker's like, look, I've proven it. I want the big, big bag. We're going to see if they'll give it to him. And I wanted to mention this, that Fernando Mendoza and Ty Simpson are the only first-round picks from this year's draft who will remain unsigned. I don't think it's going to be a big deal, guys. But, again, we're just talking about guarantees of and when those are going to be paid out. Ty Simpson, obviously, with the Rams. And Fernando Mendoza is with the Raiders. But those are the only 2 first-round picks have not signed a deal yet.
That's strange.
It's weird.
I mean, we always know there's always teams like the Brown family that owns the Bengals. But they're always generally cheap. And it's sometimes the Chargers, because the Spanos family generally is kind of cheap.
They are cheap.
But we'll see, right? It does kind of, okay. Of all the guys, Mendoza, isn't he like Tim Tebow light? I'll sign right here on the line. Let's get to work. Well, again, that's
why. I play for free.
That's why you have an agent.
Yeah.
And the agent and all the, and Bengal, in case you're wondering, is all about the 5th year. It's just all about what's that guaranteed money going to be when you pick up the 5th year option. And it basically should just simply move up with a cost of living increase or 5%, one would think, right?
You would think. But it's a big deal, and they get all that worked out. But I don't think it's going to mean that they will miss training camp. Hey, want to remind you guys, we, Dukes and Bell, are going to be at Twin Peaks and Buckhead Tuesday as the world's biggest sporting event continues. We're talking about the World Cup, guys. We'll be there for a match day party. And while we're there, Michelob Ultra will give away tickets to the South Africa match that's going to happen here in Atlanta. All while we're enjoying the scenic views and all the good drinks there at Twin Peaks. We'll be in Buckhead. That's Tuesday. Today's Friday, 2 to 6. as we continue our World Cup journey, Mike. But that'll be a lot of fun. And today, man, as we mentioned, Team USA tonight at SoFi.
Taking on Paraguay. All the Doravillians and Shamblians are loving us out here, man. Guys, you're going to be out here some more, man.
Appreciate that, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you.
See the dude in the hat? He works for a company. He was afraid he'd get caught, you know, drinking a margarita, getting on a photo. He changed his shirt in the parking lot.
Look, he said, don't say nothing about
me. No, rhymes with DHL.
Hey, man, coming up, we'll talk more NBA with an NBA writer from CBS. Our buddy Brad Botkin's going to join us. He will talk about what he thinks the Spurs are going to do to respond to that devastating loss as they will play again tomorrow night. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. We're having a great time out here meeting some great listeners, man, hanging out at Jimmy's Tequila right here off of Peachtree Industrial. We'll be here until 6. Our friends from Ultra, Michelob Ultra, out here giving you a chance to win tickets to a match at Mercedes-Benz for the World Cup. But real quick, Mike, we want to mention this because O just sent this. O's back at the studio. And he said there's a report out there. And, guys, it's that time of year, okay? We're a couple of weeks away from the draft. I'm talking about the NBA draft. Once the finals is over, that's where the focus will be. And then we'll get a chance to see what's going to happen as we get to July with free agency and all with the Hawks. But there are reports out there that the Hawks may be one of the teams interested, because we've got the cap space to do it.
Right.
In Austin Reeves.
Ooh, that's tasty.
The Lakers have an exclusive negotiating window. And the beginning of free agency begins, I think, June 30th. We'll talk to Brad about this, Brad Botkin, NBA writer for CBS, in just a second. But I just want to put it out there because you guys will hear a variety of things. And O was like, did you guys see this? No. Am I surprised?
How does that make you feel?
Well, look, everybody's saying the Brooklyn's going to offer him potentially 4 years, $178 million. Are you willing to do that for Austin Reeves?
Is Ressler ready to pull that? I mean, that's the thing. I know. I mean, I love Ancy Soleil, but our owners, let's be honest, he's had alligator arms when it comes time to, you know, getting your toes on these aprons we talk about with the cap and the luxury tax.
So check this out, Mike, real quick, and then we'll talk to Brad, who's holding on. Detroit is also apparently interested. Now, if you're Reeves, think about this. Are they closer?
Yeah, they're ready made. They're ready made.
They're closer.
That's turnkey.
And that's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that's the battle for sometimes with these free agents is, okay, we feel like we're a player or two away, but he may look at this and go, Detroit's, they're on the verge. We'll see. Brad, thanks for joining us, man, on Dukes and Bell. We appreciate you jumping on with us. We've been spending a lot of time, as everybody has, on what we saw in that last game. And Mike and I were just saying, do the Spurs need to be on somebody's couch? Or are they just that naive that this young group can put what we saw a couple of nights ago behind them and come back strong in Game 5?
I mean, to me, this team has proved its mettle. We keep talking about that they're young and can they kind of rise to these occasions. And I just think it's too low-hanging a fruit at this point to not treat this team as a steeled, mettled team. I mean, they were down 3-2 to OKC. They go in and win Game 7 on the road. They're down 2-0 in this series. Everybody said it's done, and they should have won both games in Madison Square Garden. So I think this team has proved itself in terms of its ability to kind of put things behind them, have that amnesia that all of us mortals are not good at doing. We go out and play golf and we double bogey a hole and we can't forget it for the rest of the front nine. These guys are programmed and built to put this stuff behind them and go to the next task at hand. And the Spurs have proven their ability to do that. I think this series is going back to New York.
Ooh, look, it's been nip-tuck in all of these games, and certainly you could argue that the Knicks, we saw it here in Atlanta, did some really dopey stuff, and they did some horrible half-court offense in the loss and the first half of the other win. But the Spurs, and it's been well-documented, Brad, stop shooting threes. Where's the veteran coach on that staff to tell, hey, knucklehead, stop. Just run your offense. Let's not shoot it with 10 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, in hindsight, that was, and really, even when it was happening in real time, you know, there was a couple possessions where I think they fired up five threes, in like they kept getting the offensive rebound, and Wemby shot two of them, and I think they only got five paint shots in the second half. I mean, their shot diet didn't look good. I always hesitate to say that a team should play the score. I think that's how you lose leads, you know. I know three-point shooting can go hot and cold, but generally speaking, I don't like this protect the lead mentality, stop playing what got you the lead in the first place, like when football teams start running the ball in the second half because they have a 14-point lead, and it just always lets the other team back in it. So I don't want it to be too hard on the Spurs, just continuing to shoot, continuing to play fast. That's what got them the lead. And when they slow down and start getting careful, their half-court offense can get pretty jammed up because they don't have good spacing with Castle. Wembanyama's not strong enough to force himself into the paint. When they're playing quicker, he's attacking quicker in transition, early offense, and they're getting into sets before New York can set. That's when they're having success getting Wemby downhill. But yes, in hindsight, I've seen people saying that if Greg Popovich were the coach, he would have gotten the huddle somewhere early in the fourth quarter and said the next person to shoot a three in the next 5 minutes is not playing the rest of the game.
Maybe, right.
You know, maybe something when you started to see the avalanche starting to happen, you know, I think there probably was a moment in time that Mitch Johnson kind of regrets not corralling the group and laying down the law a little bit. Not like encouraging, hey guys, let's run our offense. Let's take a little – like, no, if you take a three in the next 5 minutes, you're out for the rest of the game. Like, I don't know if Popovich would have done that. I've just seen people saying that. Maybe that was something that could have been done before the full avalanche started. But, you know, in the end, I'm typically an advocate of continuing to play the way that got you the lead in the first place.
That's how we lost the Super Bowl, by the way, Brad. Again, not right. To your point, I see both sides of it.
Yeah. Brad, it's Brad Bakken, guys, by the way, NBA writer for CBS joining us here on Dukes and Bells. We talk about the NBA Finals. By the way, just a quick note, this Finals has been great, though, hasn't it? I mean, seriously.
Oh, when we talk about
When we talk about where the NBA is and the star power and, like, oh, LeBron and Curry and all these guys on the tail end, and then you watch this Finals, you're like, man, this is exactly what we want as fans.
Boy, it's incredible. I mean, this has got to be the best series I can remember, maybe there's been better series in terms of you would like for it to be 2-2, so 3-1 sort of sounds lopsided, but like this is anything right. but lopsided. The Spurs have had a 10-point lead in three of these games. They've had the lead with under two minutes to play in all four of these games. It's remarkable how close this series is. I mean, Jalen Brunson's a leading candidate for MVP, and he's a plus-minus negative in this series. So there is separation between these guys, these teams. I was on TV earlier today, and people were asking me if the Spurs were playing their best basketball, if the Knicks were playing their best basketball. I would say no. We've seen turnovers from the Spurs. We've seen them cough up leads. We've seen Jalen Brunson start getting back into some of his too much dribbling bad habits. The beauty of this series, as in all of life, is in the imperfections. There's no way either of these teams were going to be perfect against one another. They might be the Knicks look perfect when they're playing the Cavs, when they're playing the 76ers. The Spurs look terrific when they're playing Portland in the first round. Like, these teams are so good and so uniquely constructed to combat the particular advantages that each of them enjoy that it's going to be a fight. And to me, that's the beauty of it. All these Spurs turnovers that they're taking a hit for, to me, I look at the good side of it. That's Knicks defense. That's guys swarming down off the wing and still recovering to the shooter. Like, competition at this level is supposed to be hard. There's supposed to be human flaw and mistakes because it's difficult. They're so good at the height of their powers on the biggest stage. Embrace the mistakes that are happening because this is a fight.
But do they need that OG? I mean, we're talking with Brad Bakken, guys from CBS Sports here, on the Sweet James Accident Attorney Hotline. Do they need, we joked around about it, you can't have Draymond, but that kind of toughness, that kind of guy to be a protector, like in hockey, for a guy like Wemby, so Wemby doesn't have to throw the elbows himself. Do they need that presence? Is that part of the problem they've had, like, in the last loss?
Who, the Spurs?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't, like, if you're asking, do they need a hockey enforcer? No, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, they're, to me, collectively, they're like a tough-as-nails team. Castle's tough as hell. Dylan Harper's got to be the toughest 20-year-old I've ever seen in my life.
Let me rephrase it. Do they need, like, a veteran? Like, a veteran in a more veterans than De'Aaron Fox?
Well, everyone was sort of hoping Fox was that guy. And I won't say that he's not. I'll just say that, you know, in the end, I'll take the talent. If you're asking me if I'd rather have, you know, like Kelly Olynyk or something playing just for, like, the presence over the talent of Champagne and Vassell, and I wouldn't. I think the talent has won out. I can't speak to the sort of intangible benefits of veteran leadership in the locker room and how you can quantify that and why the Miami Heat kept paying Udonis Haslem when he never played. I don't know. Everybody believes something different. To me, we've been praising the Spurs for being ahead of their maturation timeline all playoffs. Like, they play older and wiser and in a more veteran sense than their years would suggest. So now I think it's low-hanging fruit when they run into an incredible team. Suddenly now they're immature and they need a veteran leader. Like, we weren't saying that when they went on the road and beat OKC in game seven. We were saying they played like 10-year vets. So I don't.
When Wemby misses his free throws, now the poise thing comes in. The moment got big.
Sure, I mean, that's poise, but you can't put a veteran in just to shoot the free throws.
No,
I mean,
true.
That's part of playing basketball. Yeah, that's a moment where, you know, when that comeback was happening, we've seen this all, you know, any of us have watched the NBA for long enough. You know that, like, teams are down 25 and there's a natural ebb and flow to the game and they get it back to six and they just kind of never get over the hump. You know, something happens. And I thought that moment was when Josh Hart missed the layup and Wemby went to the line on the ensuing possession. It's like, okay, that's how it usually goes. The team gets close and then one thing goes wrong because it can't keep rolling downhill and you kind of survive. And I thought the Spurs were going to survive if Wemby made those free throws. And, yeah, that was – I hate to use the word choke because I've never stood on the free throw line in Game 4 in Madison Square Garden of the Finals at 22 years old. So I know, but I know missing those free throws was a big, big deal.
It was. What do you anticipate? You said it's going back to the Garden, and you think we're going to get at least six games, maybe seven?
I don't know if they can win it at the Garden, but I go back to the leads they've had in every game. Like, clearly they can beat the Knicks home or away. The bottom line is we get too caught up. This is how stock markets crash. This is how everybody goes to the casino and never walks out with their money. They win the first eight hands, and then we always think that what is currently happening is just going to continue to happen. And now on every show I'm on today, the Knicks won the last game, the Spurs melted down, it's over. Like, that's just going to happen again. It doesn't keep happening. The Knicks cannot keep getting into these early game deficits and thinking that they're just going to continue to pull them out in the end. You can't be at 10-point deficits in three of the four games. They're turning over six-card blackjacks right now. You know, you don't want to be in that position, and that's how you lose the money back that you were lucky to win in the first place.
That's a good point. Brad, before we let you go, Brad Bogdan, guys from CBS Sports, talking NBA. 60 seconds. What do you do for the Hawks in the offseason? Well, I mean, do we keep Kuminga? Do we keep McCollum? What do we do in free agency? What do we do for trades?
I would keep Kuminga. I'm a California guy, and I watch every Warriors game, and I think Kuminga's really good. And you certainly saw it in spurts for you in this playoff run. The tough thing about the Hawks is, you know, you remember in 21 when you had all that success and you got to the conference finals, and then you thought, we're okay. We don't need to do anything the next – and you sort of ran it back with Collins and everything, and I think that was a missed opportunity there.
Yep.
I think this would be a missed opportunity to not – you know, C.J. McCollum was great. It was obviously fantastic in the playoffs in the early part of the Knicks series. But I hear you talking about a guy like Austin Reeves before I came on. Something I think to invigorate a second scorer alongside Jalen Johnson. I don't know that you're going to go to the highest level with Nikhil Alexander-Walker being such a primary scorer for you. I think certainly you've got to look at a move that puts you into the category where you can compete from a firepower standpoint. I like the versatility. They've created a great makeup with Daniels and Alexander Walker and Jalen Johnson and they put together a versatile two-way sort of in the Knicks Celtics blueprint. Everybody can shoot, pass, and dribble. And Travis Schlenk wanted that when he was there. I remember talking to him on multiple occasions about, you know, coming from that Warriors background of his, and it was like, everyone shoot, pass, and dribble. And they've created that. They've created a versatile defense, a Kongwu. He's out shooting now. I think they've established the foundation of a versatile two-way team, and they got some continuity now with re-signing Snyder. I think they to take the next step, and Detroit is in the same place. I think they've got to find themselves. I don't think Jalen Johnson can be the 1A scorer on a team that you expect to go to the conference finals. I think he's, at this point, is a phenomenal all-around player, an all-NBA level player. But to me, he feels like an OG Anunoby to me, like a great two-way player, like honestly awesome. But Jalen Brunson is why they're in the finals.
That's
and
right.
I think
it's
you're looking for that guy.
It's a great point. We couldn't have said it better. I think that's how we feel on this show. We've tried to express that. We'll see what the Hawks do, man. Great job on covering the NBA and covering the finals. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, man, good stuff from him, Brad Bakken. I don't think, and that's a discussion we'll have in a few weeks when the final's done and how this team is going to approach free agency. We're coming back, guys. Dog Report's on the way. Mike's got some guy talk, and we're going to talk to Steve Koonin as well.
By the way, there's probably guys in the cars going, yeah, you had that guy, Trae Young.
Well, look, here's my question, though. If you had Trae, would it have stumped the development of Jalen Johnson?
Yes, two things can be true.
And that's what I think they thought. All right, we're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell.